The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long.
Second hour of the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host. Now, before I shift gears and move on to the third chapter I want to focus on here, I want to just, you know, read off just a couple more of these protocols just to kind of give a flavor here of, you know, the roadmap read that has been planned out. You write in here, you know, get control of the media, spread propaganda to further our cause. Does that ring a bell? Stir up racial contention between blacks and whites. Does that ring a bell? And thirdly, use bribery, threats, and manipulation to blackmail to advance our goals. Do you know, Reed, with all this stuff that isn't reported on mainstream media about the sniffing of little girls' hair that we saw on YouTube until they censored it with Biden, the Hunter Biden laptop, which keeps rearing its ugly head, the FBI's had its hands on for 2 years and has done nothing with it, and all of the little leaks that come out about it, they've buried all of this stuff, and it would be really, really easy if Biden didn't dance to their tune to say, oops, look at this, put it out on mainstream media, and Biden is toast.
Yes. Well, yeah. That's how they operate. You know, they can make a mountain out of a molehill. They can make any good guy. They can dig up dirt on anyone, or they can cover up the dirt on people, and the media never gives it any attention. So, once again, you know, they dictate the narrative. Whatever stories they want to air, that's what they're going to give credence to.
Okay, so let's shift gears now. Now, this, what I'm going to go into next, Reed, might just give a wake-up call to some people. We're going to go to chapter 37. Chapter 36, okay? The origin of the Jews. Now, folks, this comes out of the Jewish Encyclopedia of 1925. So I'm not making this up. Reed isn't making this up. Okay, this is where in the Jewish Almanac, I guess. So I'm going to give you the floor and let you walk through for the listening audience exactly the origin of the Jews. Go ahead, Reed.
Okay, well, if we go back in the Old Testament, we go back to Isaac, who married Rebecca, and they had twin sons, Esau and Jacob. And for the biblical scholars, remember that Esau sold his birthright for a pot of lentils. And so Jacob then obtained the birthright, which is the keys to govern or lead. And so he was favored in the sight of the Lord. Now, the problem comes in when people think that Jews are of the house of Israel, and they're not. When Esau sold his birthright, he also married outside of the house of Israel, or he married
a Canaanite, right?
Correct. He took strange wives, which was a sore grief unto Rebekah. And so he was cursed. And he is the father of modern Jewry. So your modern-day Ashkenazi Jews come from the loins of Esau. They don't come from the house of Israel. Jacob's posterity were the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's where the confusion comes in, that people think that Jews are from the tribe of Judah. They're not from Judah. They're not one of the 12 tribes. They come from Esau, the cursed lineage of Esau. And that's where the confusion comes in. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2 through 3 says, "Yet I loved Jacob and hated Esau." He hated Esau because he was disobedient. So, and then, of course, Revelation 2, 9 says, "And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." So Christ pointed out that they weren't even Israelites. They weren't of the house of Israel. They're not. So I guess, once again, the confusion comes in when we say Jew and Gentile. Well, in the scriptures, Jew really means believers. The true word was Judea, not Jew. The Bible translators changed it to Jew to make it appear as if the Jews were God's chosen people. But the in the Greek alphabet, there was no letter J. So the word Jew in the old scriptures never even existed. The word was Judean.
Okay. So are we to conclude from that these people that are claiming to be Jews, like it says in the Bible, but are not, are really not even, I guess the word would be Semites?
Correct.
Okay.
And so later on in my book, I talk about some of these doctors who have done DNA study, and they've actually proven that the Palestinians are true Semites, whereas these Ashkenazi Jews are the real Gentiles. They don't have any Semitic blood in them. Semite comes from the word Shem. Shem was one of the three sons of Noah. And most of your Semites are white Northern Europeans. So they're the true Semites. So when a Jew says you're anti-Semitic, that's an oxymoron. White Northern Europeans are true Semites. The Ashkenazi Jews are not Semites. They're from the loins of Esau.
Well, I'll tell you this much. It wouldn't be easy to make that argument with them. I mean, because I had to read that a couple of times, and I you know, it was as clear as mud the first time I read it. But the bottom line is you know, I had always gone by Revelations 2, 9, and 3 lines where Jesus had warned, you know, beware those who say they are Jews that are not. And then, of course, I get all these different stories about, well, the Ashkenazis came from Ukraine or wherever they came from, you know, and it was a tribe that they took on Judaism because they were threatened by the two opposing countries on the east and the west and that sort of thing. But the bottom line is that, I mean, the fact of the matter is that they're not really even Judean, okay? They're not Semites,
right?
Right. Okay.
Right.
All right, now we're going to get really heavy, and we're going to really wake a lot of people up. So let's move on here. I'm trying to correlate this with time because we don't have a lot of time left before I open the phone lines, and I'm pretty sure that the phone lines are going to light up on, especially on this one. Okay, because I have to share with you, I got well, it wasn't a very nice email, let's put it that way. And this is probably a month or so ago, because I was touching on this. And I had made a point on the on my program that the Jews, or at least the people that say they're Jews, didn't kill Jesus. I mean, physically, they didn't kill Jesus. It was the Roman, Pontius Pilate, I believe, that ordered the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Okay, so technically speaking, the Jews didn't kill. Yes, they wanted him killed, but, you know, Reed, I could want you killed. That doesn't mean that I killed you. You know,
right.
As long as I don't carry it out, I didn't do the dirty deed, right?
Right.
Okay, well, I got some real nasty comments over that one. However, let's go back up here a minute. Chapter 37, and I want you to drill down on this and kind of explain this for people so they're aware. And by the way, this is, let's see. Remember, the Jewish Encyclopedia of 1925 states that the modern Jews of today come from Esau, the Edomites, who are not Israelites. That comes right out of the Jewish Encyclopedia. So let's go into chapter 37, where the title is, folks, Jesus Christ Was Not a Jew. Go ahead and uncover that one for us, Reed.
Well, first of all, Christ was the son of God, so how could he be a Jew? Secondly, his mother and father, Mary and Joseph, were Israelites, direct descendants of Levi through Aaron and David of the tribe of Judah. So once again, mother and father, Mary and Joseph, were Israelites from the tribe of Judah. Jews don't come from the tribe of Judah. I think that's where a lot of Christians are confused. The Ashkenazi Jews come from the lineage of Esau, which is not one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So even in Galatians 3:16, it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Okay, so, you know, that's laying it out as simple as I can. You know, Christ came from the lineage of Judah, which is one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and your Ashkenazi Jews are not of the tribes of Israel. They're from Esau. So,
okay. I'm going to add to that, and I'm going to say, I'm going to go back to what I spoke about earlier, Reed, with actions speak louder than words. Now, we hear this all the time. Well, we don't hear it all the time, but we hear it from time to time. You know, the Jews are God's chosen people, right? We also know, and we've seen this, and we've been raised on this, that God is love. Jesus right. Christ was love, okay?
Right.
In the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the epitome of, and by the way, I experienced that in 1975 under Acts 2:38, and it is the highest escalation, I believe, of a feeling you can have on this planet when you're infilled with the Holy Spirit and you experience that flawless, beautiful love of Jesus Christ. So when they say, well, the Jews are God's chosen people, now, and I'm also going to bring into the mix the hijacking of the unfortunate Jews that have had their beliefs and their religion hijacked by these people in Revelations 2:9 and 3:9 that claim to be Jews that are not. My question to you, Reed, is how could God's chosen people, if they are indeed serving God or Jesus Christ or whoever it is that they believe is at the top of the Trinity, how could they possibly massacre to the scale that they have the Palestinian people?
Well, they couldn't, and that's why Christ said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." A good fruit, a good tree, doesn't bring forth bad fruit. So, you know, the proof is in the pudding. What kind of works do these people do? And when you look at all the major world wars, these Jews are stirring up the propaganda, fueling the flames of hatred, and instigating the wars, and the same thing with the Palestinians. So, you know, like Christ said, they're liars and murderers from the beginning. They delight in bloodshed, and that's what they're masters of doing. So, yeah, the whole thing is an oxymoron. What did Christ say? My sheep know me, and they follow me. These people didn't follow Christ. They rejected him. They argued with him. They hated him.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it reminds me of one of those other excerpts or what do you call it, verses that I read that you depicted in the Talmud, them saying something about Jesus Christ is currently burning and boiling excrement or something like that.
Right.
Okay.
They say he's the bastard son of a harlot. You know, they say the most degrading things possible about Christ. When you read those statements in the Talmud, they hate him with animosity beyond measure. I mean, they hate Christ. They hate everything he stood for.
And these people, as you so, well, I mean, it just... It's almost perfection. I don't want to say it is perfect. By the way, you're spelling throughout this book. I spell checked you. You did a really good job.
Let's give Dave the credit.
All right, I'll give Dave the credit for that one. but ultimately, as you read this book, folks, and by the way, you can buy this book at moneytreepublishing.com, and I would strongly urge you to buy a copy of this book because not only will you read it and reread it like I'm doing, but you'll also put it in your library for future reference. But as I guess Dave helped you in the spell checking, at least, and some of the research, maybe? Is that right?
Dave was a tremendous... We deleted over 20 pages out of this book because Dave was a stickler for fact-checking everything. If we couldn't verify it, it had to go. So we had to delete over 20 pages of things that I couldn't verify.
Okay.
It was probably true, but we couldn't document a source, so we deleted them out.
Okay. Well, all right. We've covered that pretty well. I'm going to open up the phone lines here in a few minutes. But before I do, I wanted to throw this out because I didn't find any of this in this book. But, you know, as we go through and we read throughout history of literally who is behind the manipulation, the motivations by the political leaders, the events that some of them actually set up, you know, to motivate us into going with war for certain political reasons, whatever. There were certain people in history that were literally, what would I want to call them? Just the absolute bloodthirstiest villains you could ever imagine throughout. And these people, and I can bring up a couple of events, one of them, which I'm going to just throw a couple of names at you. Have you ever heard of the guy by the name of Lazar Kaganovich?
I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, he was the Jewish head of the Cheka, and he was the guy that was in control of the purges for anybody that opposed the Jewish control of the Soviet Union and the Bolshevik Revolution. And there's a number of other of these guys in here. And as I read this, Naftali Frankel, Levi Berman, Gingrich Yagoda, Rappaport Soltz, and Spiegelglass. All of these people were the people that were in charge of basically, you know, doing the nefarious and downright evil things that they were doing to the Russians during the Bolshevik Revolution. And some of the tortures that they were using in doing so were just absolutely unconscionable, things that I couldn't even have dreamed of. And I was just curious if you had heard any of those names.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at the Holodomor, where they went in and starved to death 9 million peaceful, hardworking German migrant farmers. I mean, who could... You know, I grew up on a farm in Moses Lake, Washington, close to the Hutterite colony. Mm-hmm. These are hardworking, good Christian people, the friendliest neighbors you could imagine. How could you go in and murder people who mind their own business, work hard in their fields all day? If you need a tool from them or anything, they would be glad to give it to you because they're Christians. They practice the Ten Commandments. They love their neighbor as themselves. But these people went in and slaughtered, starved to death, or shot 9 million of them, and then brag about it and think it was a great act. I mean, that is the definition of the Antichrist. That is the epitome of evil.
Well, we're going to go to a break here in a couple minutes, but just to emphasize, and there's one other thing, there's a chapter I read in here, and I had looked at this earlier in my research, but, you know, when the Germans, and the Japanese as well, when they were losing the war, the orders that came down with the absolutely horrific and atrocious bombing of a city that was comprised, wasn't a military city, it was just comprised of you know, just people like us, just doing our jobs, going to work, going to church, and so forth. Dresden, Germany, and what they did to that city at the end of the war, that they didn't have to do, Reed. They didn't have to go. The war was already coming to an end. Germany had already lost.
And this was a refugee city where wounded soldiers and elderly went to find refuge.
And some of the descriptions that I read in your book, plus I've gone into a further depth in other publications and writings, some of the horrific things that happened to those people. And am I right in saying that the majority of the German populace prior to World War II was of Christian faith, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. All right, we got a break coming up. We'll be back at 3. When I get back from the break, I'm going to open up the phone lines, folks. I have a feeling there's a few people chomping at the bit to get in on this. So we'll be right back with my special guest, Reed Sainsbury. I want to thank him again for coming on the program, and I want to congratulate him for a phenomenal book. We'll be back at 3. Stick around. More to come.
No reason to get excited.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Reed Sainsbury, who has written the book Exposing the Lies of History. I'll give Dave Gahari a little credit for that as well. Dave did, at least did the spell checking and made sure that Reed deleted a few pages. So, phone lines, as I was going, well, as I assumed, are already loaded up. I'm going to give each of you about 2.5 minutes because I want to make sure that everybody gets their chance to ask a question or voice their comments or whatever to read. We've got Fred, Peter, David, Lynn, Marcus. I'm going to go in opposite order. First, we're going to go to Marcus in Idaho. Marcus, do you have a question for Reed or a comment? Marcus just dropped. Okay, let's go to Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, you're on with Michael. Do you have a question or comment for Reed?
Bless your heart. Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Reed. Okay, let me talk fast. First, administrative. Where else is your book available other than the Internet for those of us who don't use the Internet?
MoneyTree.com.
But I don't use the Internet.
don't use it. Oh, I'm sorry. Reed, can you answer that question for
you
us?
You could call Money Tree Publishing. Do you have the? Let me see if I can get the phone number real quick. You could call, and they can. You could talk to them over the phone.
If you get that out during the program, I'll write it down then. I don't want to hold you up right now.
Okay. Very good. I'll get the number and give it out.
I'll move on to my question.
Okay.
Because I got a couple questions. One right. When it comes, and one I'll share a tip, though you may know. I actually, because I hate Christian Zionism, WHTT.com, I think it is, We Hold These Truths, is about the truth. And also, a Jewish guy, Levy, that works with Haaretz, actually did a great speech a couple years ago, the day before the IPAC conference. But here's my question: what's the difference between the Babylonian and the Jerusalem Talmud?
Babylonian and the what?
I think because I've seen like in like christianbooks.com that there's a Babylonian Talmud and like a Jewish Talmud or a, you know, Israel Talmud.
Well, I think they're the same thing. I think what you may be referring to is the Babylonian Talmud is the one that has all this vile, degrading stuff about Christ and Goyim in it. They make one that's toned down for average Joe Blow to read, and I'm not sure what they call that, to be honest.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, let me interject.
I can't
Lynn.
Wait for
let
your book.
Lynn, let me interject. Okay, if you've got a pen, I've got the number. You ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's 850-689-8989.
850-689-8989 for the publisher.
For money? Yes, yes. And you could talk to Dave, okay?
Okay, thank you both. Thank you all so much.
All right, thank you for the call. All those callers, I'm sorry?
Thank you, I said.
Oh, okay. All right, all those callers that are on the line, I'm going to take another caller. It'll be David, Peter, Fred. Hold on, David, Massachusetts is up next. We've got a break coming up in a couple of minutes. Dave, what's on your mind? Question or comment?
Yes, Michael, this question is for you.
Okay.
Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus?
Yes.
Who did Judas Iscariot betray Jesus to?
Herod, I believe. Am I right?
No,
it was either Herod or it was to the head of the Sanhedrin, right?
Right. He betrayed Jesus to the Jewish high priest and the Sanhedrin.
Right, which would be the Sanhedrin.
Everybody knows that Judas betrayed Jesus to the Jews. He didn't betray Jesus to the Romans. He betrayed Jesus to the Jews.
Okay.
Now, further, when they went up to arrest Jesus up in the Garden of Gethsemane, there were soldiers, but they weren't Roman soldiers. They were the high priest's temple guards. The Jews were allowed to have a small army to protect the temple. It was the high priest temple guards that went up and arrested Jesus in the garden.
Dave, real quick, what's your point?
My point is, I'm not going to let you get away with blaming the Romans for killing Jesus and letting the Jews off the hook. Now you listen to me. Cut him off, Mike.
I'm sorry, Reed. Let's move on. We got a break coming up. He's not going to let. Here we go again. You're not going to let me get away with blaming the Romans for killing him. Well, it was the Romans that ordered it, Dave. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, they wanted it, but they weren't the ones that carried out the act, Dave. All right. Let's see. We got a break coming up in just a second. Peter in L.A., hang on. I'll pick you up right after the break. My guest is Reed Sainsbury. We'll be back in three. Stick around. More to come.
Well, you will learn that packaging is all that heaven. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer. 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house, or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Reed Sainsbury. Phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. The book is Exposing the Lies of History, and you can obtain the book at moneytreepublishing.com, or you can call Dave at 850-689-8989. Excuse me. All right, Reed, ready to go back to the phones?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Peter in Los Angeles. Peter, you're on with Michael and Reed. How you doing, my friend?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Reed. Thank you for writing this book, Reed, and thank you for having this on, Michael. I want to point out that the way that this has been organized, you've already brought up the Rothschilds, is start out with a premise that you can accomplish anything if you can print money out of nothing and never be audited, which is what has gone on with the Federal Reserve since 1913, and the European Central Bank, and you know, banks all over the world, frankly. But at any rate, so they have been Rothschild and Warburg and all these guys controlled for forever. And I want to point out that in the last 2 or 3 years since COVID, the almost the entire ownership of the United States and other places has changed hands. And how that happened is when the pandemic hit and nobody was buying anything, nobody was making anything, and the Fed came in and intervened to prop up the stock market. When the stock market had fallen and we were getting things for 40 cents on the dollar, they started printing the money, as they always did, and buying up everything for 40 cents on the dollar on all the publicly held companies. Then as the privately held companies started to fall down, they bought those too, but it's harder to trace that. But I would ask anybody out there to look and see, trace the ownership of any major publicly held company, and you'll see that they are owned either by BlackRock, Jewish-owned, Larry Fink is the CEO, Vanguard, Jewish-owned, but both of these, by the way, were seed money created by the Federal Reserve. They're the major stockholders, shareholders in almost every single publicly held company, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And so if you look and see that, and then you can add on to their Goldman Sachs, all these are owned by the Federal Reserve. They have all these things. They went from like a $3 trillion under management to, you know, well, just BlackRock admits to like $10 trillion under management. That's more than the GDP of Germany, for instance. That's not including Vanguard or State Street, another Jewish-owned company, or Goldman Sachs. Then when you look and see who owns Vanguard and who owns BlackRock, if you look up the top shareholders in Vanguard, it will be BlackRock are the biggest shareholders. When you go to BlackRock, you'll see that Vanguard is the biggest shareholder of BlackRock. When you go to see the Federal Reserve, which is supposedly a publicly held company, you will not be able to find out who the stockholders are. It's this circle jerk runaround. But you can look up all that right now and go, who owns BlackRock, who owns Vanguard, and go to any publicly held company. You'll see who owns it, controls it. So that's how it's controlled, and that's how they obfuscate it. Yeah. By the way, Christ was betrayed to the Pharisees. The Pharisees then detained Christ and turned him over to the Romans. The other one was, Reed mentioned that blackmail and all that, and murder as well. There's no doubt they do that as well. But the Nexium case, where they were branding people a couple of years ago, funded by the Bronfmans, head of the World Jewish Council. Right. Epstein. We all know about the Epstein case and who those guys were and who they were blackmailing. Did you remember Roy Cohn? Roy Cohn was McCarthy's Joseph McCarthy, senator from Wisconsin. He was his main counsel. By the way, one of Trump's mentors. He had a big blackmail ring himself. By the way, they also were blackmailing Woodrow Wilson after the...
Right, well, it falls right in the protocols of Zion. Do you want to comment on anything he said, Reed? Go ahead.
I talk about that in my book. I go into how Wilson, President Wilson, was blackmailed, and all that's covered in the book.
Yeah, what do you think, Reed? What's your take on BlackRock, Vanguard, all these? They can basically controlling every public health company.
Yeah, I mean, they're all controlled by the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds control 95% of all the banks in the world. They're the puppet masters. You dance to their tune or you're out.
All right, Pete, thanks for the input. I got to let you go, buddy. I got loaded phone lines. We're starting to run out of time. Okay, so appreciate the phone call, though, Pete, and the information. Let's go to Fred in Iowa. Fred, you're on with Michael and Reed. How are you, my friend? Haven't heard from you for a while.
Hello, boys. I'm so overwhelmed with joy I can hardly talk. I lost my internet for the last 6 weeks, but come on, about 4 hours ago, and the last three hosts are right on, and I'm just... joyful. Reed.
Well, thank you.
I know that your book is accurate, true, and honest, but I knew about your book 7 years ago, and it's what I've been trying to get out on RBN for 7 years. I'm a Sabbath keeper. Now, my worldview is a biblical view. And King James Version specific. Now, when the Roman general Titus was attacking Jerusalem, he was called away to another front. And when he did, all the Christian Jews that believed in Christ, they left Jerusalem and went to the mountains. Not one was killed, but all the other Pharisee and Sagittarian Jews that killed Christ, they perished. And the Ashkenazi people are between in the Caucasus Mountains, Caucasian Caucasus Mountains, between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. And they are Gentile. And that's where you get, I forgot the word, but it's a lot of Germanic words in it. Let's see what if I can cover anything else. But
Anglo.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brent. I was just going to say, does Anglo-Saxon fly into here at all, Reed? Is that what he's looking at or not?
No, I mean, he's. Are you referring to Arthur Koestler's The 13th Tribe research?
No, not in the least, but not in the least. There's only 12 tribes, but I'm losing my words here. Your book is accurate, but AmazingDiscoveries.org, AmazingDiscoveries.org, AmazingDiscoveries.org. I am a Sabbath keeper, so that should tell you who I am. And I've been trying to get this message out, and you've got it in a book. I beg everybody to get that book, Merton 2, and then pass another one out, because it is accurate. But I have known on this, your book, for over 7 years. Well, I don't know
if
I did talk.
Great. Fred, I got to let you go. My phone's loaded up again. We're starting to run out of time here.
Yeah,
so.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Fred. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Fred.
All right, let's go to Nancy in California. Nancy, you're on with Michael and Reed. What's on your mind, girl? Question? Comment? What?
Okay, just real fast. I would say that remember when Christ was, he was basically put on trial. This is like a public trial with a mob, you know, calling for his death. And Pilate said, I don't see any sin in him. Even Pilate's wife had a dream and said he's
right.
An innocent man.
Right. So, and Pilate washed his hands symbolically, right?
He washed his hands of it. They did not. So, you know, you're that one guy that called who said he doesn't want the Romans blamed on it. Well, they really didn't want to crucify him, and it was put back to the Jews, and they could choose between Barnabas and Christ.
I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with it.
So
but
the guilt
my
to me is on.
Pardon me?
So the guilt to me is on their shoulders. They were the ones who were behind the whole effort, and it was because it says in the scriptures that he was gaining more and more influence over the people, and that they were afraid they were going to lose their power over these people. And they, from that time forth, they conspired to kill him. And that's stated in the scriptures.
And Nancy, I respect your opinion. The only thing that I'm putting out here is that all of them, you could wrap them all up, all 5,000 or whatever was standing out there rooting for his death. Okay, they were all conspiring. They all wanted him dead for whatever reason. Okay, he was threatening them or threatening the whatever they were doing. But my contention is the bottom line. Excuse me. My contention was the bottom line is that Pontius Pilate had the authority and was in the position to say no, and he didn't. He's the one that ordered it. So even though the Jews, I could want you dead, Nancy, but as long as I don't pull the trigger, I'm not the guy that killed you. All right, Reed, you want to respond to that at all?
I think in a court case, though, when you have somebody that could have prevented it, that had involvement, they are also guilty.
Well, again, Reed, do you want to comment on this or not?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Michael. I mean, no, I don't think there's anything to say much after
okay.
that.
Okay. The bottom line is we all have our opinion. You can agree. We can agree to disagree, Nancy. But the bottom line is that.
Well, and that's not even that. That doesn't even matter. I laud you for writing the book. That's great. Yes, I've been familiar with Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9, you know, both of those verses. Those who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie, and they are of the synagogue of Satan. They were the ones that were behind overthrowing white Christian Russia, and they're trying to do the same thing here now.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, they absolutely.
They control America. They control our banking, our media, our government. Washington, D.C., as Patrick Buchanan has said, is Israeli-occupied territory. People need to wake up. It's like
yes.
Sun Tzu said in The Art of War, you need to first know your enemy, and people don't know who their enemy is. They consider us animals. They
Amen, Nancy.
That is, that is the purpose for my writing this book, is to wake people up
in a
simple, direct form, right to the point.
To both of you, think about this. If we were able to wake people up and stop this divisiveness, black versus white, you know, and you know, gay versus straight and all this stuff, and just make people aware that their enemy is on the mountain. We are not your enemy. Okay, whether you're, you know, whether you got blue hair, whether you want to be a transvestite, whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. You're a human being. You could make that choice. But they want to divide us and get us arguing with each other. No, let's point a finger at them. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that call.
By the way, real fast, yeah. Did you know that in Jerusalem, they have those, so in Revelation, it talks about how you would know of the city has, it's surrounded by the hills. And they have those hills surrounding Jerusalem. I know that's so brief because I didn't want to be accurate, and I'm not, I don't remember specifically enough to be more accurate than what I've just stated. But in the Revelation, it talks about, this, I believe it's seven hills. Are you familiar with what I'm trying to share here?
I'm not.
If not, don't
Reed,
worry, and we'll move on to a different caller, and I'll research it, and I'll get back with you another time.
All right, Nancy, thanks for the call. We got another caller on the line, Reed. Before the break, let's go to Glenn in Philadelphia. Glenn, you're on with Michael and Reed. Question or comment for Reed?
On this question as to who killed Stripe. The Apostle Paul, who is the Jew, the student of Gamaliel, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, okay, says that the Thessalonians have suffered like things of their own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. So this is the Apostle Paul saying that the Jews killed the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's yet another aspect of this, and that is that in some churches around Holy Week, they have a service where they put a cross on the floor, a wooden cross on the floor, along with a hammer and nails. And each person goes up and takes the nail and hammers it into the cross, so as to say, my sin is what sent Jesus to the cross. And there are arguments to talk about it. It was the Father who sent the Son. He gave his only begotten Son. He sent him. Jesus said, let this cup pass from my lips, but he still had to go to the cross. So, and then Jesus hung there of his own accord. So this is a false Hegelian dialectic going back and forth between the Jews and Romans. Jesus went to the cross because of sin. He went there at the bidding of the Father. He stayed there according to his own will, and he died there because of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all theological.
All right, Glenn, so let me interject. And Reed, I want you to jump into this too, if you would. The bottom line is that whether whether people agree with me or not about who killed Jesus or whatever, if it didn't happen, we wouldn't be having this conversation. If Jesus didn't die on the cross, Christianity would not be. Okay? So the points... pardon
me? An atheist would disagree with you, but I'm a Christian, so, you know, I understand. Real quick, the Babylonian Talmud was written when the Jews were in the Babylonian exile. The Jerusalem Talmud was written when they were at or it started, at least, when they were in Jerusalem. I believe the Babylonian Talmud is considered the more authoritative one today. And then one last thing. The proof is not in the pudding. The proof is not in the pudding. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. That's the idiom for you.
All right, guys. Anything you want to interject in there, Reed?
Okay, very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to add before I let you go, Glenn?
That's it. I just thank God that he did send Jesus to die for my sins because I need that. All right. Thank you.
Amen.
We all do.
All right. Wow, that was interesting, wasn't it, Reed?
Yes.
Mike, have we got another break coming up or are we going to skip it? Well, let's see. We'll go ahead and skip the break. I'll leave the call lines open for a couple minutes here if anybody else wants to get the final word, 512-248-8252. But anyway, in regard to that, we're going to skip the last break here, Reed. But again, I need to commend you for it was a beautiful way that you, and I guess Dave too, just wove this whole book together and put it down through events in history and, showed through, historical research that the people that were indeed behind this, and it goes back, oh, geez, hundreds of years. And, when we want to point a finger at somebody, and I think you've nailed, well, no pun intended, I think you've hit the nail on the head, like Glenn was talking about, it leads back to the Rothschild dynasty.
Yes.
And they are at the top of the pyramid, right? And another point that a caller made a little while ago, and I want to bring this up, Reed, think about this for a minute. If you were in control of the printing press and you could print all of the money that you wanted to do with the old saying that everybody has their price, there literally is nothing you couldn't accomplish. Am I right?
Right. Absolutely.
So, you've got this, the Protocols of Zion that they're talking about, manipulation and bribery and so forth. And this whole thing is a tie-in to, I believe this. I'm going to get your thoughts. It's outside of the book, Reed. But this whole Jeffrey Epstein thing that went along for 30 years when he was, molesting these underage girls and so forth, and it was going on, and people in Congress and people in the Senate and people in high places and corporations and so forth knew it was going on, but they all turned their head and swept it under the rug. There had to be a reason for that. And the reason for that is the same reason that they cover up all these other crimes. It's the same people that are in charge. So in your estimation, Reed, was Jeffrey Epstein and his accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell just an agent for the higher-ups to get the dirt on them to carry out their Protocols of Zion?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That, get all these high-ranking officials to come to their resort and participate in all these sexual acts, and then you have a file on them. And if they don't dance to your tune, you can go public with it. So, they did that to Woodrow Wilson. They blackmailed him. And that's how they operate. That's how they are the puppet masters. So, they have a file on you. And if you don't go along, then they'll expose you and ruin you. So, absolutely, following the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion to a T.
And isn't it amazing, Reed, how during, Jeffrey Epstein never went to trial. He supposedly hung himself in his cell, which we know is a lie. But Ghislaine Maxwell, throughout the trial, with all the names that came out, she was protected, or the cabal was protected, from releasing any of those names, because a lot of those names are the same names that are bought and paid for. They're threatened, they're compromised, or whatever. And the public is never going to know who those people are, because if they did, this entire charade would come to a, the whole house of cards would fall. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yes, it would. Yeah, no doubt about it.
So that being said, have you got another book on the horizon? I mean, we didn't get into this at the beginning, but one thing I did read and in your introduction is that, this was triggered by your father. He was an historian. He was very prophetic and you know, diligent in knowing history. Did he share a lot of this stuff with you when you were growing up, Reed?
Absolutely, yes. Sent me to high school with a mountain of evidence, you know, when we were had to read the diary of Anne Frank. You know, he wanted to set the record straight every chance he got. So, yeah, this book was in honor and tribute of my father, who did this research, and I interviewed him 5 years ago, and I asked him what he desired for his grandchildren before he died, and he said, I want them to know the truth about World War II and who is in charge of this Luciferian New World Order. And it's at that moment that I decided I have to write his book. So this is my dad's book. This is everything he has taught us kids growing up, and this is in honor of him. And it's for my children and other people around the world to learn the truth of who's in charge, pulling the puppet strings, and the lies that we've been told.
Well, I'll tell you what, you couldn't give a better tribute to your father. Before this show's over, we got one more caller just popped up on the line. We're going to take him, Reed. Let's go to David in California. David, you're on with Michael and Reed. What's on your mind, my friend?
Just real thoughts with a Benjamin Friedman that owned Woodsberry's soap company in New York City when he declared, I think, 1954, somewhere around there, that Samuel Utemeyer offered $40,000 to Wilson the female he had sex with was a Princeton's professor's wife, according to that book. And they gave him, Samuel Utemeyer gave $40,000 to her to shut her up about the affair. So that's just one way. Maybe there's other dirt they had on him. Of course, the Federal Reserve in World War One, who we said he was going to get in. And that's a great read, too, Benjamin Friedman's Hidden Tyranny. That's about all I wanted to say.
That's all in my book. That's all in my book.
Yeah, okay, great. What's the name of the book again? Say it before you guys get off.
Exposing the Lies of History.
Okay, cool.
All right. All right.
Just to say, if you call today and order the book from MoneyTreePublishing.com, it'll be shipped out tomorrow. And also I wanted to say before we end, you know, Dave has done a great job of helping me edit this book and put it together, but also our typesetter, Paul Angel, has been part of our team to put the pictures in and lay this book out so it's an easy-to-read format. I put it together for high school kids, but just, you know, get right down to the facts and move on and don't have these long, drawn-out chapters and get this information out for people to hear the truth.
All right, let's go to Reed, let's go. We got Nancy in California is back. She found the reference information. Real quick, Nancy, what's the reference information?
It's the end of the show. Okay. So I Googled it. The Bible is clear that the Whore of Babylon dwells on seven hills. So it's Revelation 19:9, chapter 19, verse 9. So they used to say it was Rome and that they were indicating it was the Roman Catholic Church, but Jerusalem is surrounded by seven hills. And you can Google
that very good.
As well.
Thanks. I got to let you go. We're out of time. Thanks so much for coming on, Reed. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. Folks, the number is 850-689-8989, MoneyTreePublishing.com. Thanks for tuning in. See you same time, same station next week. And thank you again, Reed. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me.
For the red, white, and blue, we must take America back. We must take America.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.